right, Joshua and the general. All right, so let's talk about this. We may go slightly over time today, but as Stephen said, you're going to be forgiving because we've got two locations with us, so it's going to be all right, okay? All good. All right, let me read to you from Joshua. What chapter is it? I did this last time I spoke. Chapter 5. I'm just lucky I can remember. At verse 13 to 15. All right. When Joshua was near, everyone say near?
Near.
That's important because I'm going to talk about it in a minute. The town of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and demanded, "Are you friend or foe?" "Neither one," he replied. "I am commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. "I am at your command. What do you want your servant to do?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did as he was told. The Battle of Jericho hangs on these three verses. Now, just for context, let me read to you the next few verses. Chapter 6. Now, the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in, but the Lord said to Joshua, "I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town." Now let me go back to when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, chapter 5, 13. When Joshua was? What was Joshua doing near Jericho? He was reflecting on days gone by. The Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for a very long time, hundreds of years. And Israel back then had come down into Egypt to take refuge from the great famine. However, Israel was put into slavery. They were used by the Egyptians. They were oppressed for centuries. And Joshua knew that it was God who led them out from Egypt through their leader, Moses. They were led through the wilderness until they came to their ancestral land. However, because they had been away for such a long time period, others had come in and established themselves in what was their ancestral land. And yet God had said to them, "I am going to lead you in there, and you are going to reclaim your land." And as Joshua now looked out over the city of Jericho, 40 years before he had been in the same place. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but I'm just going to share with you. Moses sent out 12 scouts to spy out the land. 2 of those scouts were Caleb from the tribe of Judah and Joshua from the tribe of Ephraim. The 12 went in and saw Jericho. 10 of the scouts said, came back and told Moses and the people that it's well fortified, it's a very strong, and the people look extremely, extremely strong. I don't think we've got a hope. However, who knows that sometimes what you see and what God wants are completely different things? However, Both Caleb and Joshua said, let's go at once and take possession. God's given it to us. But the 10 spies shot them both down. There are giants in that place. We felt like grasshoppers against them. It was bad. It was all negative. And they brought a negative report to Moses and the people. Joshua and Caleb, however, were so convinced that the Lord had spoken to them those 40 years earlier, they tore their clothes and said to the people, do not rebel against the Lord by being afraid, because the Lord God is with us. The people rebelled. The glory of the Lord appears. I'm just skimming in history. The glory of the Lord appears and Moses intercedes for the people. But God says to him, not one of these people will enter that land. Only Joshua and Caleb will enter the promised land. Now here's the thing. God kept them out until all the 10 spies were dead. 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb, now old men. Let's hear it for the old men. They're back. They're both in their 80s. And the 10 spies said, we have no skills in warfare. This is what they were saying way back. We cannot take this city. They only saw the negatives. We are like grasshoppers to them. And Joshua remembers as he's looking over across to the city of Jericho. He's in the same place, but it's now 40 years on. Who knows that God's got a plan and a purpose for our lives? And when we hold on to God, there is a great future for us. And he remembers the past. And for God to plant and establish a new generation, the unbelieving had to be wiped out first. God can't work with unbelief. Back 40 years, Numbers 13, God said to the people, fear is rebellion. And it was Joshua and Caleb said, do not rebel by being afraid. God can't work when you are full of fear. Faith is courage amidst adversity. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Faith is courage amidst adversity. And it was Joshua and Caleb's power of relationship, I've got my t-shirt on today, alone, seriously, when you've got God on your side, you don't need anything else. Everything's going to be all right, Alex. Everything's going to turn out. Everything's going to work out fine. You're going to get stronger and stronger, James, as time moves along. Because when we have God, regardless of even our own mistakes, God's got a plan and a purpose for us as we determine simply to hang on to him. Now, I can't do it. Who's ever said that to the Lord? Yeah, me too. Don't be afraid. Remember what... It's normal for most people. It's normal. Andrew and I have had, since today's a transition day, Andrew and I have had circumstance after circumstance where we could not see how things were going to change. Even how the church could become established in this area. However, God had not said to pack up and go home. We'd only heard... stay. And I would say to everyone here, stay the course. There is courage and faith in staying the course. And what was it that God said constantly to Joshua once he took over from Moses? Be strong in. Turn to your neighbor and say it. Be. You know, Moses had some very impressive miracles over the years of his life as a leader. Some pretty incredible. You just stand up, you know, the waters are going to part. In fact, the whole ocean. That's some power there. He grabbed a stick and it turns into a snake and then it turns into a... I mean, the man was amazed. Water comes out of a rock. Have you ever tried that? This guy's got some power. And he basically went into the throne room of God. He went up the mountain and came back radiating with the power of God. And how do you and I deal with a man like Moses? How do you and I progress in the Lord? And in Revelation 21:8, there's a really interesting passage of scripture, and I'll just read you the first part. This is a pretty negative scripture in many ways, but it's also a truth. But cowards. But what? Cowards. Unbelievers, corrupt. It goes on. Cowards will compromise their allegiance to Christ. And Joshua's looking over to Jericho for the second time in 40 years and thinking, if only back then the people would have had an overcoming spirit. And fight the good fight. Can we be those kind of people today? Regardless of the transition that is happening, and these things are natural occurrences that happen in leadership, would we stay the course and fight the good fight? And Joshua is looking over Jericho and he's thinking all these things. The spies were not bold. And actually, they stopped the progress of Israel. They didn't make it into the promised land. And I believe that C3 Frio Wellard's going to have backbone. And God does not stand for faithless people who draw back when they've been given an opportunity to progress their future. And Stephen and Unami, got to know these guys quite well over the last little period of time, are a couple who I believe will stand courageous and make great decisions like Joshua and Caleb, even when adversity is great. The church is in good hands. And how was Joshua going to succeed this time around? He sees a man of war, fully armed and drawn. He's got a drawn sword. If the man standing in front of him has a drawn sword, that means that the man is ready for a fight. He's ready for action. An 80-year-old Joshua goes up to him, even though the man is fully loaded with machine guns and grenade launchers. I mean, it's impressive. And he went up. It means Joshua got up in this guy's face. He challenged him. And Joshua said to the battle has begun. Are you for or against me? And Joshua has given the man two options. Fight me to the death. Bow a knee to me and be a part of this battle because I'm the general. And the man says, no. The man rejects both choices. The man says, I'm not the kind of person who is for or against anybody. And to ask me if I am for and against you is the wrong question. But as the commander of the Lord of hosts, I have come. As commander of the Lord of hosts, I have come. Joshua hits the deck. I am at your command. And the man says, cleanse yourself. Get your shoes off. They're dirty, and you're in the presence of the holy. So I'll make three quick points before we finish this morning. Number one, this is Jesus. These verses illustrate that God can and God will come to earth and deliver his people. Like Joshua, you and I are to bow down, we are to revere and worship God. And this is not an angel, as some people like to think. This is a preliminary manifestation of Christ. His specialty is to come and release us to God and relate with us to God. And he is the Lord and he is the way to the Lord. Now, there are other examples of this. I might have time to share a couple before we finish up here. He is from God and he is God because God is more than one person. And in Malachi chapter 3, it says, I'm sending my messenger who will prepare the way before you. In Matthew 11, it says, I'm sending my messenger before you and he will prepare the way. Like Joshua, Jesus comes to fight for us. Jesus is coming to fight for every single one of you. And like Moses and the burning bush, another amazing miracle. It was no angel. It was God himself telling him to take off his shoes. This is holy ground. And it was at that moment that Moses got the courage to lead the people out of Egypt. Every single one of us can have a visitation from God. And Jesus goes before you and I. And Jesus came to fight for Moses. He came to fight for Joshua. And he came born of a woman to fight for every single man and woman. Second, Jesus is holy. Now, this is more powerful and I haven't got really, can't go into it, but let me just give you a few things. Joshua wants to meet God and he meets a man of war armed to the teeth with a drawn sword. The holiness of God is his greatness. Here's the thing. It's only through his greatness that his love is of benefit to you. When every corner of your life is his. What does the man say? No, neither. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. Jesus is holy. And you and I can have the loving Jesus, the merciful Jesus, but we get no Jesus at all unless we get all of Jesus, including his holiness. And the book of Hebrews chapter 1 states that Jesus suspends the universe by the power of his command. Two criminals. Oh, hang on a minute. I didn't finish where I started. By the power of his command, he suspends the universe. Do you ask someone like that to come into your life to be your assistant? And the two criminals on the cross, one said, prove you are God, get us down. Are you for me or against me? Will you help me through all my problems? But the second criminal said, as long as you are with me, everything is going to be all right. If you come to me conditionally, you haven't come to me at all. He is the general. Lastly, I'll ask the musicians to come. Thanks, guys. The Lord has drawn a sword. And yet no one can face the sword of the Lord. Why didn't the sword come down on Joshua? You can meet me, Joshua, because I take the sword of the Lord myself. I have done it for you. God's amazing grace. It's a miracle we can stand before God. Jesus has done it all. Can we stand to our feet? I want to ask you, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Because God has already provided for our future. Can we be strong and courageous like Joshua and Caleb today? Can we have the power of relationship of knowing like Joshua and Caleb that God's got us? And it's not a time to move back, but a time to see God move through us and bring transition, but also success in our personal worlds. Because God is for you. Can anyone believe me today? Can we believe God's word today? God is for you. God is for Stephen Anunami. God is for Ben and Avina. God is for Christian. God is for each and every single person here and not here. God is for this whole world. Every single person, no matter what they believe, He is for them. And He's done it all. Oh, come on, let's sing a little bit, then I'm going to pray for Stephen and an army.